everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. I'm so excited today to have a really fun interview for you. We are here talking to Patrick Serrano from the Lifetime Uncorked podcast. I'm Rachel, and Patrick, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, happy to be here, Rachel.
Yeah, this is so much fun. I've been able to be on your podcast once before.
That's right. Brought all the knowledge, everything. It was so fun.
It was really fun. We're talking a Christmas Everlasting, right?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Called. Yeah. The
the with very, Tatiana Ali.
Yes. And Robert from Cosby Show.
Yes. It's really all the fun. Emotions. Very emotional movie.
Yes.
Love the Hallmark Christmas movies.
Yes. So I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. I love talking to fellow podcasters. It's kind of therapeutic, I think.
Yeah, we're all in it together. Like, that's we're right. A big like TV family network of people covering those type of TV movies. So
yeah,
it's always nice to sit down and hang out.
Yeah, that's right. It is. It's kind of, you're not alone in this. And all of this madness that we do.
Yes. And you do way more than I do. You do the interviews, you do all that type of stuff. I'm just recapping and being sexy. Yeah. That's like my game.
I love it. It's great. Well, but you have like legit studio. Like I'm just
we do.
From my house. It's yeah. Well,
you know, in Chicago, we have a little studio. So It's like a network of six podcasts. I think six or seven. Uh-huh. And I just got to be a part of that network because I'm a theater background, so I knew some people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they brought me in. I was writing reviews for Hallmark Christmas movies, actually.
Oh.
And Drew, my producer, wanted to get that on the podcast. He's like, you should do a podcast about that. And then I decided I know more about Lifetime. I like Lifetime. Me and Lifetime go way back. So I decided to keep it Lifetime focused and then maybe do Hallmark for Christmas only, just because you have to.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I was going to ask you how you ended up becoming a podcaster. So you were like a blogger first, basically, or?
Yeah, it was actually like on Facebook. I was just writing like little reviews for my friends and it just kind of like spiraled from there. Uh-huh. So yeah, and then I come from a theater background, so I was like, hosting a podcast can't be much different than like hosting a comedy show or whatever. Mm-hmm. So or an improv set. So I have a lot of comedians in Chicago who I bring on the podcast and try to make it like fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, just kind of all fell together like perfect timing.
Mm-hmm. So do you grow up doing theater and?
Yeah. Went to a theater, performing arts high school in Maryland, and then I went to college for theater, and I work in a theater during the day and sometimes on the weekends, like, you know, for events or whatever, but I'm a theater guy. Love it very much.
Where in Maryland did you grow up?
I grew up in a town called Olney, Maryland. It's kind of close to like 30 minutes from DC, 30 minutes from Baltimore, like a Maryland suburb.
Yeah, I actually grew up in Maryland as well. I lived in Frederick County.
Oh, yeah. I know Frederick.
Yeah. I was a little town called Middletown, Maryland.
Nice.
That's where that I grew up.
Well, yeah. And you grew up there for...
Yeah, I lived there from the time I was 11 until my parents moved when I was 17. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so it was pretty formative.
Yeah, high school, all the things.
Yeah, middle school and high school, in Maryland. So, yeah, I loved going up there. And I did theater in high school as well. I loved it. We did The Wiz, which was probably the best show that we did.
Yes.
Which was really fun. A whole bunch of white kids doing The Wiz, but it was great.
And it's a good show. It's a good show.
It is. And then we did Bye Bye Birdie, which was really fun.
I love Bye Bye Birdie.
Yeah. And it's such a great show for high school because in my opinion, I think that you should pick shows for high school that have as many chorus scenes as possible, because you want to have as many kids to be able to participate as possibly have. And like my sister in her school 1 year did Into the Woods, which is a great show, but it just doesn't have that many parts.
There's you got it. Everybody has to be able to like really sing in that show. So that's a tough one for high school.
Right. And I don't know. It just seems like you should have as many people be allowed to participate as want to participate for the most part.
Like Grease. Grease is a good one.
Yeah. Good one.
So many high school students in that show.
Yeah. And we did Little Abner, but then I ended up getting sick. My junior year of high school, all of a sudden I got this horrible pain, this abdominal pain that was so bad. And none of the doctors would believe me. And my mom was like, they're like, oh, it's just like cramping or whatever. And I'm like, I'm not a child. Like I'm 17, for goodness sakes. Like, I'm not going to make this up. Like I'm not. And my mom was like, she was in a whole play and she gave up doing the play because it was so like, why would she make this up? And anyway, they didn't believe me. And they finally did explorative surgery on me just to see what the heck was wrong. Right. And it turned out my appendix was like just about to burst.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Which is crazy. And I remember I came out of the whatever, the haze. And he said, the doctor said that. And I was just, I was just so wanted to say, I told you it wasn't nothing.
Yeah. You knew something was wrong and you had to leave a production. That's, like, that's terrible because the show must go on.
Yeah, I know. And anyway, that was my my traumatic medical story in high school. But it was good because I learned, you know, that you have to fight for, like, you have to be, I don't know, you have to fight for your own health care these days.
That's true.
And but
I love that we're both theater people, though. That's why we, like, connect, you know? That's where it is coming from, because theater is so collaborative. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you really have to work with other people to get a job done.
Yeah.
Not that different than a podcast.
And I think being, even though it was just those little plays in high school, I think it helps me have a little bit more sort of empathy, I guess, for these, you know, little TV movies. Because, maybe my plays weren't like the greatest thing to ever exist, but like it was super gratifying and super fun to be part of the team and to be in it. And I think that's probably kind of similar. Like, they're trying their best to do a good job to entertain people. And, you know, I can appreciate that and the effort they put into it.
Right. And they're always on crazy time constraints. And, like, they're producing these movies, like, you know, 90 a year or whatever it is.
Amazing.
So it is a lot of work. So it's very similar theater and TV movies.
Yeah.
I would say.
I think so. Where other people might just like me and just be dismissive of it. I appreciate the effort. And so you always kind of watched Lifetime movies growing up, huh?
Growing up, Lifetime was like it. That's like what I watched after school. You know, they had like the TV movies in the 90s. So I watched all of those, of course. Uh-huh. And like they're very similar. Like Lifetime at that time was very much like Women in Peril, like all these sort of things going on, like murder. So they were kind of scandalous or salacious for a young man to watch. Yeah. Like, oh, these are kind of scary.
Yeah.
And I am a scaredy cat. So I do get actually scared of the Lifetime movies sometimes. Like, I'll like scream and like jump up.
Yeah.
Cause they go for those jump scares. But yeah, it's kind of thrilling to like be like, oh, what am I getting into today for this Lifetime movie? Something crazy for sure. Yeah.
Well, so that's why I wondered if like watching all of these we call them the cautionary tales.
Yeah.
Like the Hallmark movies are like the ideal, ideal. And then you watch the Lifetime for the cautionary tale. But does it make you like ever a little bit nervous to like, I don't know, maybe go on that first date or like,
oh, for sure.
Your own like, relationships.
You look through the world with a Lifetime lens.
Yeah.
That's a scary place to live. I try to be more optimistic in my normal life, but it's nice to like kind of just grab a glass of wine and like watch somebody else go through craziness and you're like, oh, well, I'm fine.
Yeah.
My life isn't that crazy, I guess. There's no one stalking me online or anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I know of.
Yeah, it's really some of them. I don't like stuff with like, I don't like the murdery ones very much. They're a little too scary for me. But I do like the, I don't know, like I guess the ones that are more sort of PG-13. It does seem like we watched one last year because we were thinking of covering them more regularly. So we watched The Evil Doctor last year.
Yes, oh, Evil Doctor is crazy.
I was shocked. I mean, I don't think I watch R-rated movies frequently, but I was shocked at the content that I don't think that you would, I couldn't believe that content was allowed on basic cable. Like, whoa. Yeah.
They're on Lifetime movies, they're swearing, they do nudity sometimes, like they are really graphic with their violence. And that's just kind of par for the course of like the maybe in the past like 5 years they've really like leaned into that side of things. But more recently, like as of this year, a new executive vice president of programming.
Yeah.
They switch. So it's Tanya Lopez now.
Oh.
And she is focusing more on like empowering women, less women in peril.
Oh, that's good.
So that's why we've seen like, you know, the Olivia Newton-John movie, the Victoria Gotti, all that stuff is coming under her development.
Well, that's good because I mean, I like a good thriller. I don't know. It just really caught me off guard. I would maybe expect something like that on HBO, but it was just very surprising. And I mean, obviously I don't watch something like Evil Doctor expecting super high. I expected it to be kind of trashy.
Right. More like fun, campy.
Yeah. And so I was just like, I was shocked, did you like the Olivia Newton-John movie?
I did. So I watched it a little bit later. I didn't watch it when it came out. I was on vacation, but I watched it like a couple of nights ago and I thought it was good. I mean, it was just straight up biopic, which Lifetime does. They've done some bad ones. The Britney Spears one was like the worst one of them.
It was so bad. And I thought the Whitney Houston one was really bad.
And the TLC one was bad too. Like they had a slew of like really not great biopics, but this one was an acquisition for Lifetime. So they bought it from, I guess, an Australian company.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty good. I mean, kind of basic storyline, but that's just a biopic in general. You're just going to get like the flashes of the iconic, like, physical video or whatever else. Greece. Speaking of Greece,
I mean, they did pack, that was probably the one flaw that we talked about on the podcast, is that they did pack a lot into the movie. Whereas some biopics, you know, just focus on like one part of their life, and you know, they really covered a ton.
They did her whole life
pretty
much.
But
they did leave out the one thing that I was very sad was that Patrick was like, he like got lost or whatever at the end. He was like missing. They didn't like bring it back that he like came back 12 years later. He was like hiding in Mexico.
Well, did they officially, they that, or is that just a rumor?
No, they found he's back.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. I can't
and
believe
I'm like, that's the most Lifetimey part of the whole story.
It's true. I know. They really could and they should make a whole movie just on that one part, because that's crazy. I mean, that's so selfish. Can you imagine like what his family went through, and just, he's just gone. Like that's the worst.
That is like a very typical Lifetime movie plot. So where's that movie?
Yeah. So what's your kind of favorite part about running the podcast?
So I love to have guests on. So in the studio, I bring people in from Chicago. So like, I don't really do call-ins because I like to have that person face-to-face.
Yeah,
open a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And it's just like a really good time. So, and most of them don't watch the movies or don't watch Lifetime. So I'm kind of the expert, air quotes.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the heck did you make me watch? This is crazy.
Yeah.
And then we explain it to our producer, Drew, and he is not allowed to watch any Lifetime ever. Or Hallmark. He's banned from watching them. So I love seeing like his imagination, like of what the movie is, because they're always like, he always has like crazy ideas of how this is produced. He just doesn't know because he's never seen them. So it's really fun to explain it to somebody who just doesn't know the genre at all.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like that aspect of your podcast. I think I don't know, it's just, it's an interesting approach, you know, to have somebody who hasn't watched it, and it's like, are you going to convince, does he ever watch it, them after you?
No, he's never watched one after. On the podcast, we either pour it up, which means we love it, like it's great, or we put a cork in it if we're not feeling it, or we wouldn't recommend.
Yeah.
And then he just decides based on how we explain it to him, whether he'll pour it up or put a cork in it, so. It's pretty funny.
I know.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
I should disclaim that Lifetime on Court is not, rated G. We're definitely rated like R. We swear and, talk about all the crazy things. So, if you're sensitive to that,
it's
not the podcast, not a family friendly podcast.
Not safe for work, as they say.
That's right. That's right.
But it's a lot of fun. I enjoy that dynamic. I think and that you pretty much have almost, it seems like every week is a different, or every episode is a different guest, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I have a big network of improvisers and comedians in Chicago. So it's endless, the people who could be on the podcast. So trying to bring in, like, especially since Drew and I are both males, like a female voice. Mm-hmm. So for the third chair, I try to get a female in there.
Yeah.
Because we are talking about movies that are intended for females mainly.
Right.
So it's nice to have that voice in there to, keep us men in line.
So what do you think that Hallmark does better than Lifetime and Lifetime does better than Hallmark?
Yeah. So Hallmark, which I also love Hallmark, of course, how would you not love Hallmark? Hallmark is so good about, well, first of all, I love how organized they are as a network.
Yeah.
Like, we have the schedule way in advance. You're getting like very clear indications of what's happening as far as like the plan for the year. But that's more like a podcast. Like, as a viewer, I love that we have female protagonists in all of the movies.
Yeah.
I love a female protagonist. And I like that they do a really good job at kind of like hitting the beats of what's expected in a Hallmark movie. Like, if I'm sitting down and watching a Christmas movie, I want my tree buying. I want like a snowball fight. I want to have a baking thing. Like, they always deliver on what they're promising that they're delivering,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then for Lifetime, I mean, I love that it's very dramatic, over the top acting, which is just so fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And I like that. You never know how it's going to end. It's always like a twist or a turn or something where you're like, oh, well, that's sometimes surprising or sometimes very obvious. But I like the kind of mystery aspect of like Lifetime. It always keeps you like guessing.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
Yeah. I just think it's so impressive how well aware of their brand they are, especially Hallmark, that because Lifetime can be a little scattered. They're kind of like, the 1 week it's a biopic. And I guess that variety is kind of fun, but Hallmark is just, They absolutely know what they are. Yes. And they don't try to be anything other than what they are. And I mean, some people might call that boring, but I think it's impressive. And it's kind of, I kind of think they're, to me, very similar to the Marvel in a way, which might sound weird, but Marvel absolutely knows their brand. They know exactly mm-hmm. what they are, and they don't try. And a lot of the other franchises try to kind of be things that they're not. Or I feel like Star Wars is definitely.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Had this problem. Like each director is kind of making it up, you know, like we're going to be a war movie with Rogue One, or we're going to be a, you know, and some people think that that's impressive because it creates variety, but I think it actually hurts the movies because I think it's better. It might seem less creative, but I think it's sometimes more creative when a director is just basically given a kit and said, here's the tools you have available, go and do whatever you want within these tools, as opposed to saying, here's an empty thing, go for it. And which just kind of is overwhelming and frustrating. And I don't know. It's just something I think that it's so impressive when you just, you know, your brand you have, and it takes, I think Bill Abbott and Michelle Vickery are just so, they just know their brand. And I just think that's very impressive.
Right. Well, and Hallmark has kind of stuck to their brand. Like Lifetime keeps rebranding, or like they're like trying to get away from what they were in the past.
Yeah.
But then sometimes they're like, well, maybe we'll bring it back and we'll do a remake of Death of a Cheerleader.
Right.
And you're like, well, why? Why are you doing that? Like, I do agree that Hallmark really understands what they're doing. They have the formula down.
Yeah.
And both networks have been around. Basically this, well, actually that's not true. I think Hallmark was like 2001 when they started the like actual network, but they were doing the movies of the week type of thing on ABC or
The Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame forever, since like the 70s.
Like it was even on the radio at one point, Hallmark Hall of Fame.
Right.
Like it's been around.
That
forever.
Helps establish the brand for them.
Yeah.
Lifetime started in the 80s. And you know, they're, it was like Farrah Fawcett with like the burning bed type of stuff.
Right.
Which is like totally not what they want to be doing now. So they're just having to rebrand a lot.
Because it when you know your brand, it allows you to just kind of like some people might think it's boring, but I think it allows you to perfect it and to make it better and better and better. At least that's the idea, at least. And I don't know. The one thing I am very glad that they have gotten pretty much rid of doing for Lifetime was that unofficial true story phase that they were in.
Oh, yeah. Terrible. That unauthorized.
Was the worst. Like the Saved by the Bell one was so bad. I mean, supposedly off of like Dustin Diamond's book, and the whole thing was like just him whining the entire time, and it was very unreliable, like the most unreliable narrator to exist.
Of course. Yeah, I think I had a viewing party for that one, like at my house. I'm like, everyone's gonna come up and watch this, and everyone's like, this is the worst movie. I'm like, I'm so embarrassed. Why did I invite everyone to my house to watch this?
It was, and like the cast, first of all, it looked like a cheap like adult entertainment parody of Saved by the Bell. Like it was totally. So bad.
And they did a bunch more after that. They did like Melrose Place, they did 90210, they did it all. So I don't know who was in charge of the network at that time, but that was a weird pivot for Lifetime. I'm
really,
glad those days are done.
Yes. That's the dark days that they
yes, totally.
The low point in therapy, I think.
Right. So thankfully, I didn't have a podcast then. I don't have to cover those movies. But I might do the Melrose Place one because I have a friend who hosts a Melrose Place podcast.
Oh, really?
And he has like so many people like they're fanatics who love Melrose Place. And you would think, oh, that show's so old, who cares? But there's a lot of people like discovering it now. Like I guess it's on streaming or something. So it's nuts. There's a podcast for everything.
There really is. And I know because, Jack Wagner has tons of fans. Most of those are still back from Melrose Place.
Right. And because he does Hallmark, right? Him and Josie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's on When Calls the Heart. He's a regular or star in role on When Calls the Heart. And he is, he does a bunch of movies, particularly the Wedding March series, which are so bonkers.
I have not seen them, but because I vowed to not cover the wedding movies at Hallmark. I'm like, I can't. I actually go to weddings all the time. I don't want to watch movies about weddings. I had like 8 weddings last year that I attended or was the wedding party for. So can't do the wedding ones, but I remember the posters for those because I'm like, these look crazy.
Go, well, I'm with you there. I actually hate the wedding movie. because I just don't think the Bridezilla trope is funny at all. I do not like it. I just feel like, maybe it's just because I'm, 38 and single. I'm like, if you found somebody that, wants to marry you, then you're the luckiest person on earth in my book. Like, I don't want to hear it.
But weddings are stressful, I guess. I don't know.
I guess, but it's just not enjoyable for me to watch that kind of stress. And it just, I just feel like it's really selfish. And that's why I loved, did you watch the one with Amelia Ullerup, The Christmas Bells Are Ringing, this last?
Yes, I did.
I loved that movie because I thought it had, I thought the whole conceit of them like kind of taking this tour and like around town and moving the snowman and just their little cute, I just thought it was cute, but I loved the wedding. I was like, for once, I loved a Hallmark wedding. They were so thoughtful and like her and her interactions with her stepmom were so like kind.
Yeah, she's really good though for Hallmark. I like her a lot. She like really she brings something special to her movies. I don't know what it is about her, but she's really fun.
She is really good. And it's interesting because she was on Chesapeake Shores, and I was not a fan of last season of Chesapeake Shores. I did not. And I find that there's something about, in general, I like movies better than television. Like series because I don't know, I just like having like a little story in a 2-hour package and you're in and out on with your life, but I don't know, I feel like there's something about the happiness and the cloyingness of a Hallmark movie that I enjoy, but when you stretch it out and it's over,
it would almost get like soap opera-y because you're keeping up with the story and it's a lot to...
I just find it's not as palatable to me as a than the movies. I just like the movies so much better than the television.
But the movies are so fun because you get so many like different celebrities in there.
Yeah.
And, like, Hallmark does a really good job at their lineup. They like get people who are like, oh yes, I love Tia Mowry. Of course you should be in a Hallmark movie. That type of thing. So
I don't know the shows
I don't really follow either.
Yeah. So I know you have we'll talk a little bit about your least favorite queen of Hallmark, but do you have one that you really look forward to their movies, like a Danica or a Lacey or anybody like that that's kind of your favorite?
I would say Lacey is my number one, but her last few movies have been kind of boring.
Yeah.
The Christmas one specifically, like I remember the Santa Claus one where, I forget what it's called, the one where the Santa Claus like gives her like a letter or something. That one is like
Matchmaker Santa.
Yes.
Yeah, that one is good.
That's like one of my favorites. So I always like go into a Lacey movie being really excited. And then the last few she's done are just like very confusing, or like she did the Pride, Prejudice, and Mistletoe, where I was like, I don't know. So I would say her, but I'm sure there's someone else. Yeah. I can't think of the actress's name, but I really liked her when she did one. I think her name's Meredith something. She's in Search Party.
Yeah. What is her name?
I love her. Meredith something, but she's so good. And she's like the perfect Hallmark because she's like cutesy, but like kind of like fun. And I don't know. She just seems like a good one. I can't think of her last name though.
Yeah. What is her name? It's Meredith Hagner.
I think that might be right.
She was in My Christmas Love.
Yeah.
The one where she got all the presents.
Yeah,
12 Days of Christmas.
She was just so adorable.
Yeah, she is very cute. Very cute. Yeah, that's a good one. And yeah, there's, you know, even though I didn't like Evil Doctor, I do love Jen Lilly. I think she's just the
same. Oh, yeah. I like that she crosses over from Lifetime to Hallmark. Like, she can do anything. She's a really good actress.
Yeah, she is.
She's a good one. I would say maybe she's my new favorite of the newer people.
Yeah. She's just delightful, what can you say? But very good. I've gotten to interview her twice, and she is seriously such a great person. I mean, I think most of these people are really just lovely, but she has so many causes that she's working on and so many different things. Like she recorded an album for music, and she donated her first single money to help this little boy, I think in Africa or somewhere, I can't remember where, but anyway, get a heart transplant.
My gosh.
Yeah. I mean, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so anyway, she's really cool. But so what in your mind makes for a great Hallmark or Lifetime movie? You're like, oh, that they nailed it.
Yeah. So I love the Hallmark, like businesswoman with a cold heart, warmed up by like a cabin and a handsome man.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite. Because I'm like, that is me. That's my life. Where's my man in a cabin?
You must like all the fake Chicagos that you see.
Oh, I love fake Chicago. Whenever Chicago comes up and they're like working in their office,
it
makes me so happy.
Yeah.
That would be my favorite like Hallmark trope. A Lifetime, I love like a secret identity or like pretending to be someone else, you know, taking over someone's life type of movie. That's like a really good. And actually Jen Lilly was in, or no, it wasn't Jen Lilly. And I always say this movie was her, but it was another actress. It's sisters, they're twins. And one twin sister dies and the other twin takes over her life and doesn't tell anyone. And she does it at first like for the kids' feelings, but then like she falls in love with the husband. Scandalous, and it's based on a true story. And I was like, this is nuts. It's like my sister's secret or something like that. Insane.
Yeah, you're like, where did they find these people? I was thinking that the other day with that Mommy Dearest one.
Yes,
I was just like,
oh my gosh.
What is going on?
That one really was scary. I definitely like was like freaking out the whole time.
I haven't gotten to watch that documentary yet, but I want to after you guys talked about it.
The documentary is even scarier than the Lifetime movie. It's insane. I mean, people, there are crazy people out there, so everyone be careful. I'm worried about everyone. Be careful, please. Yeah,
that's right. Oh my gosh. I'm just happy here in Utah in my like little bubble.
Yes. That's why. We'll all be okay.
That's why I would not absolutely never watch the Elizabeth Smart movie, because I'm just like, I don't need to have that fear in my life. Like, I was, you know, in Utah when it all happened. And
yeah.
It was like awful. Right. I mean, obviously it was awful for her, but it was scary. Like, you think you have this really safe kind of community, and for something like that to happen was just awful.
Right. And that's another like tricky thing with Lifetime movies. Like, when they're based on true stories, you have to be so careful telling that story. Yeah. And Lifetime recently has been a lot better about getting that person involved in the production. So at least they have a voice in their own story. Because before, they used to just be like, based on a true story, and that's it. And they take creative license. But now they're better about respecting the person who's actually going through the traumatic incident that happened, you know?
Yeah. Well, if you ever want to do a vintage Lifetime movie episode of the podcast, my favorite, one of my favorite TV movies I've ever seen.
I'm so excited to hear it.
I know. It's called Love Notes, and it's a Lifetime movie, and it stars Antonio Cupo and Lara Layton.
Yeah.
And Antonio Cupo is so dreamy in it. So dreamy. And
I'm on board.
Yes.
I'm on board with that.
And he plays a country music singer, and she plays a classical music critic, or like an NPR kind of lady. And she has to do this interview with him. And she, and so she goes, and they basically have a one night stand, and it's very, you know, very dreamy. And then, she ends up pregnant. So it's scandal.
Yes.
And so she has to try to communicate with him, because she's going to give the baby up, because she like had a single mom, and she doesn't want to be like that. And, you know, to a kid. Anyway, right. And so it's kind of a road trip movie of them back and forth. Very romantic, very dreamy, and I love it. It's so good.
Okay, I'm gonna have to find this. We'll do like a very special episode of Lifetime on Court and get you on there to explain it to Drew.
Yes, it's so good. You should watch it. Yeah,
I've never heard of it.
Yes, it's way back from 2007. So.
Oh, okay.
It's going back, but it's my favorite. It's one of my favorite TV movies, and it is available on DVD. So
okay, I will look for that for sure.
Yes. Do you have a favorite like that? Like one that is kind of the number one, your ultimate Lifetime movie that you love?
Ultimate Lifetime movie would probably be, I think I'd have to go like old school. Like, I actually really got into Lifetime because of like the eating disorder movies. I'm actually going to be doing a series about them coming up on the podcast. So like every other week, we're going to do like a special on eating disorder movies, because they were such a huge trope of Lifetime for a very long time. So probably the one with Tracy Gold, where I think it's like
the Jars movie,
where she's throwing up in jars. No, that's Calista Flockhart in another movie. But Tracy Gold, actually, I think it's like The Perfect. I can't remember the title, but basically Tracy Gold like used the movie to get over her eating disorder.
Oh my gosh!
And like kind of was involved in the production, and she, you know, basically a telling of her experience on growing pains and everything. Not that literal to her life.
Right.
A parallel like universe where she's like a normal teenage girl dealing with that. So she did a really good job in that. And I think like Jill Claiborne is the mom in that one.
Uh-huh.
So if I could remember the title, which I don't know off the top of my head, but that would probably be one of my faves.
That Sounds, I feel like I've seen that. I mean, and I really remember the Jars one because we watched that in health class in high school.
Me too. Must have been a Maryland thing.
Yeah, I think so. Oh my gosh.
Yes. But I think that was a TV special, the Clarissa Flockhart
movie. Oh, was
movie.
It? Okay.
Because I was going to cover it for the Lifetime movie eating disorder series.
Uh-huh.
And it's only like a 20-minute movie.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, I don't even know what that was and why I watched that in health class. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Don't know.
I vividly remember it. Like,
me too. So it was shocking.
Yeah.
But that's why those Lifetime movies are so important.
Oh, yeah.
Karen Carpenter story would probably be another one of my top movies.
Because
like they taught people about eating disorders during that time period.
Yeah. So no, they did. Yeah.
They really like brought it to like the consciousness and for people to discuss and like talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Because before the Karen Carpenter thing, eating disorders weren't really talked about. So
yeah,
it's a big, big catalyst for like movies with a message, you know?
Yeah. And my favorite Lifetime Christmas movie is The 12 Men of Christmas with Kristen Chenoweth. Mm-hmm. I love it.
That's a good one.
It's so good.
I really like the Nutcracker one this year with Melissa Joan Hart. That was so fun and cute.
So funny. I mean, they nailed it this last Christmas. I liked Lifetime's, I think, better than the Hallmark slate this last Christmas. And I absolutely loved Christmas Perfection. I thought that movie was so funny. And I don't know. I just adored it. I thought it was the best.
Anything with a Groundhog's Day like premise is going to be like really fun. So if they nail that premise, I'm on board. TV movie anytime. Do a Groundhog's Day thing.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
And it was so brilliant, I thought, because it wasn't just that she was reliving the perfect Christmas. Mm-hmm. It was that everybody in her life was behaving in the way that she wanted them to behave. So her parents were like together and were all happy go lucky, and her friend who's usually pretty snarky was all of a sudden nice, and her crush at work was all of a sudden now her boyfriend, like, and she's so, I thought it added a layer to the movie, because you know it's interesting because we like if people behaved in our lives the way that we kind of want them to, would we actually like it? Like, it added something to me to the movie. And I don't know. I loved the sort of the scene when she finally sort of tells her parents, like, I miss you. I miss the real you. And here she would have thought that she would never, you know, miss them like fighting and them being themselves. So I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
And it's a good message to kind of like deliver to people during the holidays that everything doesn't have to be perfect.
Right.
It's all going to be fine. It's really just spending time with people who you love that matters. And like you can't control other people. So you just have to like relax and enjoy the time with the people that you love.
Right. And the other one that I loved from Lifetime this last Christmas was Christmas Pen Pals. I thought was great. I just really liked how I liked everybody in the movie. Like every side character. I loved her dad. He was great. Like all the little relationships and just the whole idea of everybody writing letters was so nostalgic. And I've never been like that high on Niall Matter. Like he's fine, but like never been
super,
but he won me over in that movie. He was so dreamy to me.
I can't believe you don't like Niall Matter. He's so cute and dreamy.
I do now. I'm totally on board, but he's always just been fine. Like I don't hate him, but, but he was so swoon-worthy in that movie. I was just in love with him.
Yeah, I don't know. I love this new trend of like people kind of jumping around networks.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, hey, Niall's on Lifetime. Amazing. And like, it's really fluid with like how they're all filmed in the same location. So why couldn't they film two movies for two different networks, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They're all up there in Vancouver.
So. Yeah. More the guys than the girls crossover.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. Like, but Andrew Walker, my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the best. I was a little disappointed in his movie, like Christmas in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just thought it was kind of boring. It didn't, they didn't have as good a chemistry as I thought they would have. And I don't know. It just, I'm just so tired of save the town.
Right.
Line, yeah. Save the barn, save the school, save the whatever. Like, it's just, I'm very tired of that trope.
Yes, it is, like, overdone.
Because there's no stakes.
He could do better. He could do something better than that, I think. Like,
he did. Snowed In was so good. The one from the mm-hmm. year before, that one was so good. But I don't know. I just feel like, because everybody's trying to be You've Got Mail, but the thing they forget about You've Got Mail is that the store closes. Like, she right. actually has, because you don't believe it for a second that most of these, that these save the whatever, that they're actually going to close, that they're actually going to, but in You've Got Mail, it actually, she actually has to deal with starting a whole new life, and she actually has to deal with the store closing, and mm-hmm. and so it's so much better than all these other movies to me.
Right. Well, and also with You've Got Mail, it was very timely when it came out, because, like, you know, Amazon was just
right.
a thing, and, like, bookstores were actually closing.
Yeah.
Like those type of bookstores. So, you know, it just doesn't connect as well in this time
yeah.
period.
I
think we've evolved past the mom and pop shops closing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah. I was just in North Carolina and South Carolina, and there's a lot of storefronts that are just like shuttered up. So sad.
I know. It is really sad. You go through most Main Street and there's a lot of closed up businesses. And even now the big box kind of Fox Books type thing that was closing down the smaller stores are right. now actually struggling to stay open. And, you know, I mean, so many like iconic businesses that you thought would never close down. I mean, just the other day, Payless is closing down all of their shoe stores and because it just seems like almost every day, you know, I mean, Borders is gone now as far as the book, you know, the big box that's been gone for a while, and Barnes and Noble is just hanging on by a thread. So it's an interesting thing, but yeah, I don't know. I just feel like I'm just bored with that whole trope. So I hope that they use it less, because it's just, the other one that I'm really bored with is, like, I don't mind a good party planning movie, but most of the time it's like, I don't get to go to this party. So, like, unless the script is pretty funny, it can be really boring.
Well, and I plan events for, like, my living,
yeah.
so that makes me super stressed to watch someone else do it. I'm like, oh, no, I have an idea of what would be better or whatever. So, yeah, I don't like those either.
Talk for a second about you kind of have a good-natured, I think, poking fun at the queen of Hallmark, yes. Candace Cameron Bure.
Yeah.
At the end of your show, how did that all happen? What do you say? Yes.
So the thing with Candace is, you know, she has some things in the past that she has not, in reviewing it, I feel like maybe I was quick to jump on some assumptions that I have about her, but basically I'm a gay man, so she
right
in the gay culture Candace is known as, like, not a fan of the gays, which isn't actually true, so that's where it started. I was like, oh, Candace doesn't like the gays, but she's never actually said that she doesn't like any, she's not against anyone really. So I have a segment which is called What You Say Candace Cameron Bure, where we watch her Instagram and we just talk about it. And, you know, it's meant to be fun and kind of snarky.
Yeah.
But, like, really, I do, as I've, because when we started the segment, I didn't know a lot about her, I will admit.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've continued with the segment, I've gotten to know her through her social media presence. And she's just a very interesting person, and she, like, mm-hmm. is a hard worker. She, you know, is very family-oriented, and, you know, there's a reason she's the queen of Hallmark. She's, like, does all the movies, and she's very committed to that, especially like the family-oriented content. Mm-hmm. So now the segment has evolved into us trying to, like, you know, get Candace to not really get Candace to do anything, because she doesn't know about her, or she doesn't care about our segment. and just getting her to, like, accept everyone openly and just say, like, hey, gays, you're cool with me, would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. To hear from somebody who's such a high profile and has such a good following of people who, if they heard Candace say that, you know, gays are cool, then maybe they would think the same thing. So just getting everyone to accept people for who they are is kind of like the goal of the segment. And, you know, it is kind of fun to just watch Candace's Instagram, and she's complaining about Vancouver, and then everyone gets mad at her because she has crazy trolls on her social media account. They really go after her for anything she does. It seems like she gets negative comments for everything. And I don't know why they would be following her if they have negative things to say, unless they're trolling her. Mm-hmm. And on the podcast on Lifetime on Court, we kind of are like, Candace, like, just don't acknowledge the trolls. Just live your life and don't worry about what these trolls are saying. So at this point, we're just kind of like, oh, Candace, you're so crazy.
Very good. Yes. Yeah. I feel like, I mean, for most of us that are sort of in the conservative world, if for lack of a better way of describing it, I think that it's been a bit of an evolution. Like, I'm sure that if you went back to like 2007, 2008, like, there's things I probably said and maybe even tweeted that I'm not super proud of, you know, because it was an evolution. Like, I don't know, you just learn and grow and become more accepting, hopefully, as human beings. And, you know, you have friends and you learn their experiences, and it makes you more open, and you know, that's part of the reason why we want to do all this is to talk about all these fluffy stuff, but also to just, you know, share a little bit of who we are. And that's one thing I think that that I feel like now we just like pounce on every little thing. If somebody said, you know, somebody, like, I was kind of glad to see I know this is a silly example, but the director of the new Jason Reitman, the director of the new Ghostbusters movie, had put out a tweet saying, oh, we're going to reboot things. We're going back to the original. A lot of people were like, wow, you're totally dissing the 2016 one, you're so rude, you're so, like, pounced on it, you know. And I was just really glad to see, like, Paul Feig, the director of that, of 2016, just come out and be like, I love Jason, he's amazing, and I totally understand what he was getting at, like, we're awesome. And I'm like, that's the way I wish that more people were, that, like, there's just this immediate outrage, and that you're not allowing people to, like, yeah, and sometimes that's deserved, because sometimes it is right. But other times it's like, let people be human and make mistakes and just have sort of a conversation and try. You can have fun and just be a little silly about it and let people evolve and grow. And I don't know. So I think that there's probably been some growth on Candace's part. It's hard when you're on a show like The View. Because,
oh my gosh, I can't imagine.
Like, I mean, we're, yeah, and everything, especially being the one conservative on the panel who's kind of, that would be a lot of pressure. And I'm not defending everything she said or whatever, but, like, I don't know if I could, I'd like to think I could do it, but anyway, it'd be very difficult. And so, I think it's a good thing, and I think it's fun that you guys do that. And I think that if she were to listen to it, she would probably just have a smile and I have fun with it. I do.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I have no bad intentions or ill will towards Candace, and I do agree with you that I think she has evolved, and as everybody has evolved, to be more inclusive and, like, you know, even in gay culture, like, there's stuff with trans people that the yeah. gays did not do well at like advocating for. So now we are trying to advocate for everyone and include everyone. Yeah. And I say we as in like the gays in general, but mostly myself also. Like, you know, using gender inclusive language and like all that type of stuff. Like there's little things that I'm learning to do that just makes other people feel better. And, you know, it's not that hard to do, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think it's good.
It's tricky. It's a tricky thing. And I love that you say that you've evolved too, because that's a big thing for me being a gay person on a podcast is like, I want people who maybe don't know any gay people to listen to the podcast and be like, oh, this guy's fun. And he's just a normal person, just like me.
Yeah.
And that's how change happens, is you just kind of like come and connect on a human level.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. Yeah. All right. Well, so we like to end our interviews with what we call the Teen Beat questions. They're kind of just silly, fun questions that Amber found on an old thing of Teen Beat. Do you know Teen Beat? It's an old magazine.
Oh, yeah. Teen Beat, yes.
Teen Beat. Yeah, it was an old magazine where you could get like posters of Jonathan Taylor Thomas or whatever. Yep. So here we go. So the first question, what is the best ice cream flavor?
Cookie dough.
Yeah. Mm, pretty good. All right. What is your favorite color?
Blue, of course.
What music are you listening to right now? What are you into?
I've been listening to a lot of Phoebe Bridgers because it's winter and I've been like kind of sad, and she's like the perfect sad singer girl.
Oh, so cool. I heard of her. Cool.
She's very sad. So if you're sad, maybe don't listen to her, you know?
Oh, good. I like that. Okay. So what is your go-to date night food?
Sushi.
Mm, okay. What is your go-to date night activity out on a date?
Oh, I went axe throwing recently, which was really fun. So I would say that.
Like,
give it a shot.
Is that like a medieval times thing or something? What is that?
Like, it's like a target, and you like a lumberjack, like you throw axes like over your head. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh, wow.
It was really fun. And I was like not into it. I was like, I don't want to do this. But it actually turned out being pretty fun.
Yeah. Huh. There you go. Get a little of your pent up rage out.
Yes. All the aggression out on the board. And it's like scary. You're like, oh, this is scary, but then you're like, oh, I'm kind of good at this though for some reason.
Yeah, yeah,
it's like something anyone can do.
That is really funny. I've never heard of that. Very cool. Okay, dogs or cats?
I like dogs.
Yeah, very good. Beaches or mountains?
That's a tough one. I'm gonna say mountains though.
Okay, good. Suit and tie or sweats?
Sweats, of course. Who would pick suit and tie? No one.
All right. What's your favorite holiday?
I love Christmas.
Yeah. 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 All right. And what is your favorite Hallmark movie?
Favorite Hallmark movie. I'm going to go with a throwback. What is her? Ellen Foster. Ellen Foster, the Hallmark Hall of Fame movie.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
That
one's a good one.
Probably my favorite. Yes.
Very cool.
Very young Jenna Malone.
Yes. Yeah. Very good choice. All right. Well, very good. You passed the test. You can keep podcasting.
Hooray.
People where they can find the podcast and your other social media, anything you'd like to share.
Of course. So we are at Lifetime on Court, of course, .com, lifetimeoncourt.com, where our handles on all social media are Lifetime on Court. I think our Twitter might be Lifetime Uncork because I couldn't add the ED. But I don't really tweet that much because Twitter is a scary place. So I love Instagram. Follow the podcast on Instagram. And, you know, give us a listen. If it's not for you, no problem. I understand, you know, if we're a liberal podcast and, you know, definitely not family friendly. So if it's not your bag, not offended. But the Hallmark Geese podcast is wonderful, and I love them so much. They're such a good friend of the show.
Well, we love you as well. It's mutual.
Yeah.
And I can't wait till I can get back on.
Yes, we will figure that out and get you on as a special guest, of course.
Yeah, it was really fun. So, well, thanks again for coming on the podcast. This was a delight. And yeah, make sure you guys are following Patrick, and I'll have all the links to Lifetime Uncorked in the descriptions section. So check that out, and you can follow our podcast at Hallmarkies Pod all over social media and on iTunes and on YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes, if you can give us your ratings and reviews, really appreciate it. And if you're listening on YouTube, if you can give us a thumbs up and a subscription, we really appreciate that as well. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews on YouTube and iTunes, and really appreciate you checking that out. And thanks again, Patrick. This was so much fun.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to y'all later. Bye.
Bye.